greatly. They had legends about this exact event. What good was the first contract? What good was the waiting, the protection of the trust? To most of the Chandra, apparently, these things had become a point unto themselves. Yet these things meant something. They had an origin. Tensun hadn't been alive back then. However, he had known the first generation and been raised by the second. He grew up during days when the first contract, the trust, the resolution, had been more than just words. The first contract was a set of instructions, actions to take when the world began to fall. Not just ceremony and not just metaphor. He knew that its contents frightened some of the Chandra. For them, it was better that the first contract be a philosophical, abstract thing. For if it were still concrete, still relevant, it would require great sacrifices of them. Tensun stopped running. He was up to his wolfhound knees in deep black ash. The location looked vaguely familiar. He turned south, moving through a small rocky hollow, the stones now just dark lumps, looking for a place he had been over a year before. A place he'd visited after he had turned against Zane, his master, and left Luthadel to return to the homeland. He scrambled up a few rocks, then rounded the side of a stone outcrop, knocking lumps of ash off with his passing. They broke apart as they fell, throwing more flakes into the air. And there it was. The hollow in rock, the place where he had stopped a year before. He remembered it, despite how the ash had transformed the landscape. The blessing of presence serving him again. How would he get along without it? I would not be sentient without it, he thought, smiling grimly. It was the bestowing of a blessing on a mist-wraith that brought the creature to wakefulness and true life. Each Chandra got one of the four: presence, potency, stability, or awareness. It didn't matter which one a Chandra gained. Any of the four would give him or her sentience, changing the mist-wraith into a fully conscious Chandra. In addition to sentience, each blessing gave something else: a power. But there were stories of Chandra who had gained more than one by taking them from others. Tensun stuck a paw into the depression, digging out the ash, working to uncover the things he had hidden a year before. He found them quickly, rolling one, then the other, out onto the rock shelf in front of him. Two small polished iron spikes. It took two spikes to form a single blessing. Tensun didn't know why this was. It was simply the way of things. Tensun lay down, commanding the skin of his shoulder to part, and absorbed the spikes into his body. He moved them through muscles and ligaments, dissolving several organs, then reforming them with the spikes piercing them. Immediately he felt power wash through him. His body became stronger. It was more than the simple adding of muscles. He could do that by reforming his body. No, this gave each muscle an extra innate strength, making them work much better, much more powerfully than they would have otherwise. The blessing of potency. He'd stolen the two spikes from Orsur's body. Without this blessing, Tensun would never have been able to follow Vin as he had during their year together. It more than doubled the power and endurance of each muscle. He couldn't regulate or change the level of that added strength. This was not ferrochemy or allomancy, but something different. Hemallergy. A person had died to create each spike. Tensun tried not to think about that too much. Just as he tried not to think about how he only had this blessing because he had killed one of his own generation. The Lord Ruler had provided the spikes each century, giving the number requested so that the Chandra could craft a new generation. He now had four spikes, two blessings, and was one of the most powerful Chandra alive. His muscles strengthened. Tensun jumped confidently from the top of the rock formation, falling some 20 feet to land safely on the ash-covered ground below. He took off, running far more quickly now. The blessing of potency resembled the power of an allomancer burning pewter, but it was not the same. It would not keep Tensun moving indefinitely, nor could he flare it for an extra burst of power. On the other hand, it required no metals to fuel it. He made his path eastward. The first contract was very explicit. When Ruin returned, the Chandra were to seek out the father to serve him. Unfortunately, the father was dead. The first contract didn't take that possibility into consideration. So, unable to go to the father, Tensun did the next best thing. He went looking for Vin.
Originally, we assumed that a Koloss was a combination of two people into one. That was wrong. Koloss are not the melding of two people, but five, as evidenced by the four spikes needed to make them. Not five bodies, of course, but five souls. Each pair of spikes grants what the Chandra would call the blessing of potency. However, each spike also distorts the Koloss body a little more, making it increasingly inhuman. Such is the cost of hemallergy.
40. Nobody knows precisely how Inquisitors are made, Elland said from the front of the tent, addressing a small group which included Ham, Set, the scribe Nurdin, and the mostly recovered Demu. Vin sat at the back, still trying to sort through what she had discovered. Human, all Koloss, they had once been people.
There are lots of theories about it, however, Elland said. Once the Lord Ruler fell, Sazed and I did some research and discovered some interesting facts from the obligators we interviewed. For instance, Inquisitors are made from ordinary men, men who remember who they were, but gain new allomantic abilities.
Our experience with Marsh proves that as well, Ham said. He remembered who he was, even after he had all of those spikes driven through his body. And he gained the powers of a Mistborn when he became an Inquisitor.
Excuse me, Set said, but will someone please explain what the hell this has to do with our siege of the city? There aren't any Inquisitors here.
Elland folded his arms.
This is important, Set, because we're at war with more than just yeomen. Something we don't understand, something far greater than those soldiers inside of Fadrix.
Set snorted.
You still believe in this talk of doom and gods and the like?
Nurdin, Elland said, looking at the scribe. Please tell Lord Set what you told me earlier today.